Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord, and everyone that you brought here today. And I just pray that you'll be with this service, Lord, be with pastor as he comes to speak, that you'll give him the words that we need to hear, Lord. And I just pray that you'll just be with us, Lord, as the song says, like, we just want to be overwhelmed by your presence. We want to feel you here in this service today. We want your presence to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You guys may be seated.
All right. Very good. Very good. Give me a second here. When I put the thing down there, I lost the app thing here. So that happens once in a while, doesn't it? So, but we are glad to see everybody here today. And we're praying that this will be a wonderful service. And I do enjoy so much the music. And the praise team did an awesome job. And I appreciate it so much. So I'm looking for here. I think I found it. Okay, there we go. When you use an iPad, sometimes when you set it down, it all goes haywire. And I like the iPad using when I speak because I can write little notes, the things I want to remember to say. Welcome, everybody, on Zoom. At the close of the service, Tony's going to be giving some announcements. One thing we're announcing, we're encouraging you, is in 2 weeks, the 27th of September, we're having our kickoff to our fall season, a new series called The Comeback, and I'll share more details online in the next week. But we're having a church picnic after the service. We want everybody, if you've been distancing because of the pandemic and stuff, we understand that. But at the close of service, everybody to bring their own packed lunches. That way the food is safe and secure and stuff. But we have beautiful property here. We just want to have a chance to fellowship. Church isn't just about singing and hearing speaking and that. Church is about fellowship and connections, and I think we all really need this. If you don't want to come into the building, you can watch it outside, maybe on your phone, the service, or you can open up the windows. You can get a lawn chair by the side windows if the weather's good, and just enjoy family time together. So I've been doing these character studies for the last 5 weeks, and I've enjoyed them, but when I choose these ones, because the first thing I do is I begin to read stories that are intriguing. And I've noticed that most of the ones that I've shared here, if you notice this, have been stories about women. And this one is going to be included in this. Now, the three characters in the story we're going to share today, it's King David, it's going to be Nabal, and it's going to be Abigail. And three individuals who basically have certain traits and stuff. And this is really an idea about handling conflict. But there's some humor in this story. And when I read it the first time, I thought, that's kind of comical, the way this came together. And Abigail's pretty truthful about certain situations in her family life. And you're going to see that as it unfolds. But the key to this, I want you to focus as we go through this, is look at each character trait of each character, David, Nabal, and also Abigail. And then I want you also to focus a lot on Abigail and how she dealt with tension and conflict and dealing with the bad-spirited people and sometimes grumpy people and sometimes mean people. And I think you can glean a lot from how she did things here. So it's a lot to read today, not a lot of big words. I'm happy about that, as a couple weeks ago. But it's a wonderful story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to read verse 1 through 44. If you're at home on Zoom, you can't see the screen here. So hope you have a Bible open. Follow along. I'm going out of the New Living Translation. And it says here, 1 Samuel 25, 1 through 44. Now Samuel died, and all of Israel gathered for his funeral. We remember a few weeks ago we talked about the birth of Samuel, the prophet. He had served Israel and God faithfully for so many years. And now at the end of 1 Samuel, where he was born in the first chapter of 1 Samuel, at the end of 1 Samuel, now he has died. And they buried him at his house in Ramah. Then David moved down into the wilderness of Maon. There was a wealthy man of Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was a sheep shearing time. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife was Abigail. And his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman, but Nabal was a descendant of Caleb and was crude and mean in all his dealings. Now, he was a descendant of Caleb. He was one of the heroes of the faith who went and spied the land, and we know his story there. It's interesting how it starts out. You got David as a character there. You got Abigail, who's called sensible and a beautiful woman, and then you got her husband here. He says he's crude and mean in all of his dealings. Well, that sets the tone for the three characters. Verse number 4, when David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel to give a message to Nabal. Peace and prosperity to you and to your family and everything that you own. I am told that it is sheep shearing time, and while your shepherds stay among us in Carmel, we have never harmed them and nothing was stolen from them. Ask your own men and they will tell you the truth. So would you be kind to us, and since we have come at this time of celebration, please share the provisions you might have on your hands to us and with your friend David. So kind of give you what's going on here. The celebration time, sheep shearing time, is connected. This was a time to where they were bringing their animals to slaughter. They were bringing the sheep and shearing them, and then obviously they were preparing meat from the sheep. They were doing all these things. It was kind of like their Thanksgiving. They were having a harvest feast. And so David sends down a message, and he tells his guys, I want you to go down there. We've been wandering in the wilderness here, kind of. He's been running from Saul. The previous chapter is a story where David spares King Saul's life. And so Samuel has died, and so David is in his location. He's living off the land. He comes across these shepherds, and David, being a shepherd himself, feels very connected to these guys, and he protects them, he cares for them, and he thought he was doing a good thing for the master of this great, this great family there, a very wealthy man. And so he says to his servants, I want you to go down and basically greet, Nabal and let him know what we would like to do and how that maybe he could bless his friend David. David's young men gave the message to Nabal in David's name, and they waited for a reply. Here's Nabal. Who is this fellow David? First of all, it wasn't a fact that he didn't know who he was. He was very much known who he was. You can see that in a second. It was a sarcastic thing. Who does he think he is to come down and ask me for anything? Who is this fellow David? Nabal sneered to the young men. Well, who does the son of Jesse think he is? See, obviously he knows who David is because he knows who his father is. There's a lot of servants these days who run away from their masters, and he's referenced the fact that David is running away from King Saul. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? So obviously they come up to David, men, and they share the message, and they... blessings to you, Nabal, and we've been out there watching over your guys, and now it's time for celebration, and we'd like to kind of party with you guys. We'd like to take part of this, and we'd like to have some provisions for us because we've been so kind. In that day and age, when there were bands of groups, many times they would go around and they would actually rob people and maim people, but David made it very clear, we are not that kind of a group here. We have done our best to minister to the needs of your shepherds, and all we're asking now is that you kind of honor us with a little bit of provision. And then when you go to Nabal and you find the fact that these men come there, Nabal turns around and says, who does he think he is? He says, why should I even care about the son of Jesse? He says, he basically is mocking, and he calls them a band of outlaws who come from who knows where. But I want you to know, I truly believe that Nabal knew exactly who David was. He knew that he was the son of Jesse. He most likely knew that he is a person that is in line for the throne. And he had to know that he is a person that slew Goliath. And so all that's in his mind. Some commentators believe that he actually was a person who was a loyal friend to King Saul. That's why he treated David this way. There's a lot of different ideas there why he treated David this way. So David's young men, verse number 12. So David's young men returned and told what Nabal had said. Get this. Get your swords, was David's reply as he strapped on his own. Then 400 men started off with David and 200 remained behind to guard the equipment. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master. But he screamed insults at them. These men have been very good to us, and we have never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. You need to know this and figure out what to do, for there is going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He is ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him. You ever met a guy like that? Wow, this is getting kind of interesting. It's going to get funny in a second here, because you that are married to maybe, difficult husbands. I don't know if you're out there or not, but it's going to get funny in a second here. So all of a sudden, you know, they send this message to David. David tells his guy, we're going to go kick some tail. We're not going to put up with it. It ticked him off. It offended David. He did things kindly. You ever just treat somebody so kindly and then they burn you? I mean, the first thought you have is that, okay, payback time. David says, we're going to get the men together. We're going to take 400 guys together, get your swords and stuff, 200 to stay here and protect our own stuff, and we're going to go and take this guy out. And all of a sudden, we find a servant of Abigail and of Nabal. And obviously, he didn't go to Nabal. We're Nabal, probably because of the fact that I'm not talking to this guy. He's a pain. So he went to Abigail. He says, listen, David sent men to come and talk to Nabal, your husband, and greeted him very warmly and just was looking for provisions and maybe to share in the celebration of the harvest. And your husband basically chewed him out, mocked him, made fun of them, and ridiculed him. And we got a problem here because that went back to David, and I have a feeling this is going to get bad very, very quickly. And he talked to Abigail. Remember the first verse there. Abigail was sensible. That's why he went to Abigail. Obviously, the husband not so sensible. And so he went there and talks to Abigail. And that one verse, you know, they couldn't talk to Nabal because he was ill-tempered and no one could even talk to him. Verse number 18. This is going to get good now. Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 fig cakes, and packed them on donkeys, and said to her servants, go ahead and I will follow you shortly. But she didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. So the first thing Abigail does, okay, tell you what, we got to get in front of this. The things that were requested, that David requested, the servant must have told her. He says, I want you to get that stuff together. It doesn't say she asked permission from her husband. She just did it. And she says, I want you to put it on the donkeys, and I want you to head towards David, and I will be there shortly with you. So they took off to go, and as they knew David and his army was coming towards them, they met him on the way, and of course, Abigail came and followed. It goes on here a little bit more here. Verse number 20. As she was riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. David had just been saying, a lot of good to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owed was lost or stolen. But he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me, even if one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. May God kill me if they're not all dead tomorrow morning. That's what David has said. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, I accept all blame in this matter, my lord, which obviously she didn't need to, but she was representing the family. Please listen to what I have to say. I know that Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just like his name suggests. The name Nabal actually means fool. But I never even saw the young man you sent. Now, my lord, so surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance in your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be cursed as Nabal is. I don't know if you get this or not, so here's what's happening. She goes out there. She's already delivered the goods and stuff to make a peace offering with them. She gets out there, and she throws her husband under the bus. She says, basically, I know he's a pain in the neck. Hey, I have to live with the guy. He's rude. He's ill-tempered. He's a fool. Now, I don't know about you. We're not going to talk about, you know, do you ever think of your husband or spouse as a fool? But if you ever live with somebody who's very contentious and just grumpy or whatever, you probably get the idea here. Now, I want to give her a little break here. What she was doing in some ways is she threw her husband under the bus to protect everybody else, including him. She said basically all those things to let David know, I'm aware that he's a pain. I'm aware he was rude to you and stuff. I'm not making excuses for the guy. I have to live with him. But she made it very, very clear. I think she's doing this because she wants to make sure that David knows, I'm not here to wine and dine you, although I gave you the supplies. I'm here to tell you the truth. We get it. But don't pay back everybody else being killed because you're ticked off at him. Everybody's ticked off at him. And then she kind of says here, why don't you let God take care of it? And she kind of even insinuates that God will take care. God is a great equalizer. If there's been an injustice done here, that God will take care of it. It's a wonderful, humorous story about a woman who threw her husband under the bus here. So we left off here in verse number, verse 25 again. I know Nabal is wicked and ill-tempered man. Please pay him no attention. He's a fool just like his name success. But I never saw your man. Let's go on down here to verse 27. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you for your lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battle. And obviously she knew about him being anointed king. And you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. He says, so far, David, you haven't messed up. So far, David, you haven't, and don't want you to mess up right now. Verse 29, and even when you are chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. And she must have known about the story of David and Goliath. She's referencing things that connect with him. When the Lord has done all he has promised and has made you leader of Israel, she knew he was going to be king, I don't let this blemish be on your record. Don't let this mistake be on your record. Then your conscience won't be to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. David replied to Abigail, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning. Then David accepted her presence and told her, return home in peace, and I have heard you. It will not kill your husband. She intervened there. And remember the three characters I'm going to talk about near the end of this. She intervened and got this situation calmed down. She was a medium for conflict resolution. And we're going to point out some things in a few minutes here. This gets even more funny here now. When Abigail arrived home, she found that Nabal was throwing a big party, was celebrating like a king. He was very drunk. So she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David until dawn the next day. In the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him what had happened. As a result, he had a stroke, and he lay paralyzed in his bed like a stone, and 10 days later, the Lord struck him, and he died. Now, I want to give you some advice for women. Don't hope that always happens. Yes, first of all, I think she was smart for waiting the next morning. Have you ever dealt with somebody who had a little too much, trying to give common sense? Okay, I think I'm talking to an audience that understands all of that. But here she is. She gets home, and her husband is having a party. Once again, it's festival time. It's celebration. Everybody's eating and drinking and doing all these things there. I'm sure his great-great-great-grandfather, Caleb, would be very disappointed in what he was doing. So she says, I'm not going to talk to him until the next morning. She waits the next morning when he's sober and says, listen, she probably says, here's how wives sometimes approach husband. Please don't take offense, but you messed up. And you just isn't stupid. And you offended David. And David was coming to kill you and the rest of the guys here. And I went out there and gave him a bunch of stuff. And I did that to protect our home and protect you. But, she's telling the story. And he got so fearful and so stressed out by this, whether he was mad at her or whatever it was, the Bible says he had a stroke. And 10 days later that he died. Obviously, when you're dealing with conflict, you don't want to project and say, listen, if you mess with me again, God's going to give you 10 days and you're out of here. You don't throw that out there. But apparently, this is what took place. All right? Let's go on with the rest of the story. This is a great story, by the way. It really is. Verse number 39. Now, this gets even better here now, okay? When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise the Lord, who has avenged the insult I received from Nabal and has kept me from doing it myself? He says, he sinned against me, and I was going to sin against him by killing him. Nabal has received the punishment for his sins. Then David sent messengers to Abigail to ask her to become his wife. This, it doesn't get any better, does it? You know, I mean, it's like, listen, now that you're free to date, David sent us to take back this. Yeah, let me get there. When the messengers arrived at Carmel, they told Abigail, David sent us to take you back to marry him. Okay. She bowed low to the ground and responded, I, your servant, would be happy to marry David. I would even be willing to become a slave, washing his feet. Because she's very pleased with the fact that he listened to him. And she says, I mean, I'm humbled by this. Quickly getting ready, she took along five of her servant girls as attendants, mounted her donkey, and went with David's messengers. So she became his wife, and David married Ahinoam from Jezreel, making both of them his wives. You know, won't talk about the plurality of wives. But here's the thing. When I was reading this, I actually started laughing. And I began to read stories about things about this and doing some research and stuff. But to me, at the end of it, you know, her husband dies, a grumpy old man, and it could be a whole sermon about God will provide the better one afterwards. I don't know how that goes. But the fact of the matter is, David looked kindly to her. David really loved and appreciated who she was. Let's go back to verse number one. She was a wonderful, graceful, sensible woman. All joking aside, we all deal with conflict. And usually there are two temperaments of conflict. There's the one who is the offender, and then there's the one who is taking the offense. Most conflict comes by offense. Something that was said or not said, or something was inferred, or the tone of something created conflict. Right here you have a perfect example of two individuals who are wrong. We look at King David, and we give him credit because he didn't go through with what he had planned. But he was offended. And he was taken back by the rudeness in the offense by Nabal. Nabal was wrong because he didn't care about anybody. He didn't care about David and his men. He didn't care about his family. He didn't care about his wife because he put them all at risk, knowing, by the way, the culture of that time is that times of celebration and the culture of the time when strangers would come and they would have need, you would entertain strangers and feed them and treat them with respect. Nabal actually was going against the very culture by doing this. So you have two men that basically had offense. Two men that responded by this. Nabal by saying, you know, who is this guy? I don't care about him at all. Who does he think he is? And went on and had his own party. Didn't include them. You have David, who as soon as he heard that Nabal said that, David says, get 400 guys here, get your swords, we're going in. Both were wrong. Then you have Abigail, who is a perfect example of conflict resolution. And she realizes if she does not intervene, that she is going to see people hurt that she loves very dearly. And she also recognized that the future king of Israel, the great slayer of Goliath, the one that Samuel anointed, is going to put himself where people are going to lose respect for him because of this. So she goes out and she has this dialogue with David. And she says, yes, and I don't know if you caught her or not, she said, yes, she spoke truth. My husband is wrong. My husband's a pain. My husband can't be talked to, and even his name means a fool. She spoke truth to David. I think it's got his attention. But she also chastised David. Says, I want you to know, though, that if you do this thing, that you're going to have to live with it, and you're going to have a blemish on your record. She spoke truth about her husband, and she spoke truth to David. She couldn't speak truth to her husband most of the time because of the fact that he wouldn't listen because he was a foolish person. But she went and intervened and attempted to make peace. And the way that she did this, and this is a key to conflict resolution, was timing. Conflict resolution, for the most part, is tone and timing. And when she went there, she sent her servants out first to give them material. That would stop them in their tracks. That would get the ball rolling. And then she came at the right time afterwards to explain what was going on. And her tone was one of grace. When she went back home, she noticed that when she got there was a party and her husband had been drunk. She knew the timing wasn't right. And so she waited till the next morning and she went into him respectfully and told him what had taken place, the timing. What I get from this is simply this, is this person, Abigail, was sensible, was gracious, had the perfect tone, waited for the right opportunity, created dialogue, and solved the problem. There's a lot more to conflict resolution that, you know, you can write books on. But what I'm giving you this morning is two words that simply are the best to keep in your mind when you're in conflict with a grumpy spouse, with a workmate who's annoying, with children who basically, you know, won't listen. Teenagers are lovey, love. I went through the teenage years where all my hair went. And the words to me, there's this tone and timing. See, words sometimes will offend when they don't mean to offend if the tone is wrong. And many times we want to rush to solve the problem instead of having the right timing. And when you're in conflict with somebody, some of our knee-jerk reaction is, I'm going to settle, I'm going to call and give them a piece of my mind. And what Abigail did, she went to David and she said, listen, you're right. He is messed up back home. Sometimes truth also has to be there to where you speak truth. I know it's a problem. And admit the problems. But do it with the proper tone and the proper timing. Those are the two key ingredients for solving conflict. Every one of us have people in our life that irritate us. I mean, you can't live in this world without that. And you have, even in families and marriage and stuff, there are stressful times. And maybe not all resolutions are ever going to come to, you know, being resolved. Sometimes people do separate from each other because there's just, the tension's too tough. But I've learned this. If I'm given the opportunity to talk to somebody with the right tone, and I'm listening not to prepare an answer but to really learn what's going on, and if I choose the right timing and the amount of time, I always tell folks, if you're going to go talk to somebody about a conflict, you say, I'm going to talk to my lunch break. How long is your lunch break? It's 30 minutes. No. You need to give a couple hours because there's going to be give and take so that you're able to talk through this. The tone and the timing are key. Let me give you the walk away. Well, first I want to read, before I put the walk away, I'm going to read a verse because I got this last night, came to my head. What happened in 1 Samuel 25, actually the Apostle Paul gives us in the book of Romans exactly that this is what we should do. And this is what he writes in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 17 through 19. This won't be on the screen because I added it last night. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the Lord's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to revenge, I will repay, say the Lord. And that's exactly what she did. She says to David, listen, God will take care of this. You don't have to. Revenge is not part of us. And it's not part of any of us. Here's the walk away. Conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. You don't have to fight every battle. Sometimes you just need to manage the tensions. Conflict's inevitable, no matter where you are, but combat is optional. I love watching social media. when somebody puts something out there, and right, we're in a big political world right now, and I avoid all discussions for the most part political on social media. But all of a sudden, somebody puts a post up, and people just feel like they gotta respond. I'm like, you don't have to respond to everything. Conflict is always there, but combat is optional. And use the tools that Abigail had. Grace, dignity, sensible, timing, tone, and a little bit of truth. And that will help, okay? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. And I hope these weeks of talking about characters in the Bible and some great women of the Bible, I got to tell you, I learned so much from Rahab and from Hannah and from, Abigail here. To me, I just think that there's some wonderful stories to learn from. I just pray they've been a blessing to you. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for bringing us together. Lord, I pray that these last 5 or 6 weeks, talking about different characters, has been enlightening, has been fun to listen to and think about, but we learned some great principles in the Scriptures, Lord. And maybe learn the principles of Abigail about dealing with conflict, dealing with difficult people, how to handle things, and God, we'll be better for it. We thank you so much. In Christ's name, amen.